Hi guys, and welcome to episode 20 of Trust in the Process with myself, Deborah Chosen. How are you guys doing? I hope that you guys are well. How's everyone feeling? I feel like it's been a minute since just you and I had a good old chat, right? And there's always something to talk about, but I've always been a very big believer in kind of making sure that if I'm talking, I'm saying something that makes sense. My mom has always said from a very young age, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. And in a sense, I kind of take the same approach with my creativity and my sharing. And what had really kind of provoked me to record this episode at this particular time is that, you know, I'm currently in a season of pivoting, in particular within my career. And one of the things that I'm noticing is that it's essential to have the right people in your corner. It's essential to have the right people on your team. And I'm seeing in many different ways the different roles that they can play and the significance of each and every kind of one of those roles. And so this episode today is to just kind of explore further those key relationships that you can build and that you should be building and that can benefit you greatly as you're ascending to the next level. Now, whatever your next level may be, it may be for you that likewise it's within your career. It may be that it's within your personal business. Maybe it's time for you to launch that idea and, you know, you don't really know how to go about it, but you're interested in moving towards a new level. It might even be relationally. Whatever the case may be, my hope is that you'll be able to walk away from this episode more enlightened, more informed, maybe even more inspired to kind of check those that are around you, to check those that you have access to, and to take inventory as to whether you have placed in your life or whether you are seeking the right kind of relationships for the place that you're trying to get to. Now, what I will say is that within everything that I'm going to say, this is of course just a guide. So this is not prescriptive. If you do not have all four of these relationships, you are not doomed. God is still with you. Things are still possible, right? And another thing that you may find as we go through this episode is that at times you may see two or three of these qualities in one sole person. And if that's your case, then that's great. That's amazing. You're doing well, right? But for those that don't, there are still so many ways that these different relationships that I'm going to go through can take shape. So what I want to do is encourage you to pay attention to your goals. Look at your next level and ask yourself, who do I need around me to help me get there? For a second, I want to give you a moment to just visualize your next level. So think about the next. Visualize you at your best. Visualize you in a place of peace, in a place of prosperity, in a place of happiness. What does that look like? What does it sound like? What are you doing? Who are you doing life with? The next step that I would advise is to put it into prayer. Go out, attend events, do research, ask for help. One of the things that I think we fail to do often is to ask people to help us. You know, there's this saying, which is, oh, I'm asking for a friend, right? And oftentimes the friend is you. You know that feeling? Like, there is absolutely no shame in needing help. Every single one of us needs something that another person has. We don't know it all. If we did, then we would be born into isolation. But ultimately, there's many of us here on this earth because we all need each other. So it's important for us to ask for help. You'd be surprised what can happen when you open up about what you are doing. I think a common misconception is that when it comes to leveling up, we have to keep our cards close to our chest, right? So if you're working on something, everything has to be hush, hush. There's no safe space or safe place that you can go to in order to share what you're working on. This doesn't work. So I'll tell you guys a quick story. Recently, I attended an event. It was at UAL, which is University of Arts London, of course, and it was an event around women in leadership. I actually went to this event with the main goal of meeting one of the speakers in particular. Now, for me personally, whenever I attend such events, so panel events, speaker events, I typically go with a goal. There's usually someone in that room that I want to meet with, connect with, or there's some sort of impact that I want to receive or even make in that event. Now, this particular event, like I said, it really was a particular speaker that I was honing in on, who I did manage to connect with, which was great. However, towards the end of the event, during the networking section, one of my greatest connections actually came through probably the most unlikely kind of person. So towards the end, I met a guy who works within the careers and employability section. Now, at first glance, there's no common ground here. At first glance, there's no valuable exchange that can happen here. But what we had was a great connection. And so we were talking. In the process of talking, he actually asked me, so what do you do like creatively? To which I replied that I have a podcast. I began to talk about some of my different ventures. And within seconds, he was introducing me to a key person within the organization that was actually interested in shining more light on female podcasters in a big way. I say this to say, don't overlook anyone. You never know who you may need. This is why it's so key for us to talk about the things that we are doing in the right type of spaces. Now, onto the four key relationships you need when ascending to the next level. The first one is what I like to call the expert. So who is the expert? The expert is a leader or a thought leader in their field. Typically, they have done what you want to do and they have gone where you have not. So what is the benefit of connecting with an expert and having that role in your life? One of the best things about being connected to an expert or having access to an expert is that you can simply learn from their path and their approach. Now, this is not necessarily to say that you have to follow the exact blueprint of their journey, but in fact, really just that you can gain learnings from different parts of their journey. What you actually may decide is that that may not be the route that you want to go down, but there might be something key within how they've got to where they are that inspires you in your own journey. So with public speaking, for example, if your goal is to do more of it and get paid big for it, then you can look at people that may be considered experts in that field. For example, Maya Elias, amongst many other different names. Now, one of the most beautiful things about these relationships is that proximity is not an issue. So the expert doesn't necessarily have to be a mentor per se. The expert doesn't necessarily have to be someone who you have, whose phone number you have. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone whose email address you have. They don't even need to know that you exist. The beauty of the expert is that their impact in your life is just because they are. I'll say that again. The beauty of the expert is that their impact in your life is just because they are. So simply because of what they have done or what they are currently doing, there is value there for you to glean from. The number two key relationship that you need is one that I think is very commonly spoken about, especially amongst our generation, and that is the role of the mentor slash coach. Now, the reason why I've combined these two is because a lot of what they both offer tends to overlap. So who is the mentor slash coach? The mentor slash coach is someone who is a driving force. They direct you and they motivate you. And also probably one of the most important things is that you are accountable to them. So why do you need a mentor or a coach? It's all good and well having an idea, right? Many of us have ideas, but you need a plan. A mentor or a coach can help to make sense of everything that's going on in your mind. They provide, or they should provide, strategy. So I don't know how many of us have envisioned a greater life, have envisioned the next level. But when we look at that goal, there's all this fuzz in between. It's very confusing because what we're asking ourselves is, okay, I see B, but I also see A, where I am currently. How on earth do I get to B? What do I need to do in order to make B possible? Or maybe your question may be, what do I need to do to get to B faster? Because sometimes strategy is not necessarily about getting to a place, but actually getting to a place in a certain amount of time or with a certain amount of speed, right? This is the beauty of having a coach or a mentor. You have someone who is able to help you to strategize, who is able to bring structure to all of the many ideas that are in your head. With a mentor, you have someone to answer to, someone to check in on you. So yes, they are there to be your soundboard and to kind of bounce ideas off, for example, but they also will tell you about yourself. That is what they're there to do. So if you're not prepared to be told that you're wrong, you're probably not prepared to be mentored. Another thing that I'll say about mentors is that I think we often glamorize the finding of a mentor. We often kind of overcomplicate and make it seem like something that is so far out of reach. And I want to sympathize empathize with those of us who maybe are sitting there and listening and thinking, but I don't have any mentors in my life, because I recognize that at times it can be difficult. I have probably prayed for mentors for the past God knows how many years of my life. But one thing that I began to realize is that when you begin to do good work consistently, stay intrigued and hungry and pay attention, the role of the mentor or the coach will eventually come. For example, one of my mentors was actually subscribed to my mailing list and made the first move, so to speak, by sending me an email. So at the time when she reached out to me, in no way, shape, or form did I necessarily see her as a mentor. This was just another subscriber. This was someone who I was just engaging in conversation with. But in the course of us speaking to one another, going back and forth, creating this dialogue, sharing more about our backgrounds and also where we're trying to get to, I discovered how well we align both professionally and actually also spiritually. And I'd say probably the most key thing about this connection is that it happened very organically. And so she has become a mentor of mine as it pertains to business and careers. I didn't go out and decide I need a mentor. She actually found me in the midst of doing my own work. But sometimes many of us are doing our own work. You know, you might be listening thinking, but girl, I'm doing the work. Like, what else do you want me to do? Sometimes it's a case of lifting our head up, right? So, you know, when you're plowing in the field, your head is down. You know, you're in the midst of all the plants. You're plowing, you're plowing, you're plowing. In the midst of your plowing, remember to lift up your head. Remember to pay attention to who's around you, to who's watching, to who's speaking life into you. One of the greatest things about technology as well is the access, the added access that is given us to online mentors. There is a surplus of online mentors, right? There are so many people that are your big sister in your head or your auntie in your head, whatever it may be. There is value there, but I will say that there is also value in having someone that you have as a close connection. For the sake of accessibility, it helps to have someone who you can say, look, this is a problem I'm having, and you can pick up the phone. There's a saying that many people want to be mentors, but not many want to be mentees. So remember that within even being mentored by someone, that it should be an exchange, that as much as you are taking from them, that you should also be giving in return. That's when you have a healthy mentor-mentee relationship. The third key relationship you need when ascending to the next level is one of my favorites, and this is the gatekeeper. Okay, the gatekeeper. So who is the gatekeeper? The gatekeeper, as it suggests from the title, is the person who has the keys to the mansion. Now, for those of us that maybe are from an African background, we may be more familiar with the idea of a gatekeeper. So back home, the gatekeeper is the man who sits in front of the gate, quite literally, and he watches over the property. So anyone that is coming in or leaving, the gatekeeper always sees. I'll say that again, anybody that is coming in or leaving, the gatekeeper always sees. He has a watchful eye. Whilst the gatekeeper may not be the person with the highest authority within that household, he has access to the decision makers. So for example, as it pertains to looking for a job, a gatekeeper may be someone that works in the company. Within a particular industry, a gatekeeper may be a recognizable figure who has the right connections. It's important that you gain access to them because it's through them that doors are opened. Oftentimes, a mentor will coach you to the point that you get in front of the door. So a mentor or a coach will help you get to the door. The gatekeeper is the one that opens that door. Now, if you're blessed, your mentor or your coach may also be a gatekeeper. So your mentor may have the keys to the doors that you need to be open. They may know the right people. They may be maybe, let's say, in the right industry, or they may be in the right field that they are able to connect you to people that will propel you further. But in the case that they are not, the gatekeeper is the person that you need to also seek. Another example of a gatekeeper when, let's say, applying for a job could be a member of HR. Now, one of the things that I love about LinkedIn, and I'm going to give you guys a cheeky little tip here, and LinkedIn, if you guys, you know, if y'all want to sponsor me, you know, or the next episode, that is A-okay with me. But with LinkedIn, when you have a paid membership, one of the things that you're able to do is actually see the hiring manager behind a position that is being advertised. So for the non-paying members, all that they will see is the job description and the same apply button that every single person will see. But when you have access through paying for a particular type of membership, you're then able to see who has posted this ad. Now, what's the big deal about that? Why do I care who's posted it? The great thing about that is you have now an actual person, a living entity, a name Most likely from that, you can also gather an email address. Furthermore, you can email them or email them straight through LinkedIn. LinkedIn, I'm really helping you guys right now, so that sponsorship idea needs to be rolling. But you can email them through LinkedIn, and you can get direct access to someone who may have a connection with the decision makers. So you might not always be able to speak to the OGA at the top, but do not dismiss the importance of the gate man in front of the door. And the final key relationship you need when ascending to the next level is the role of the advocate. Who is the advocate? So when you finally get through those gates, when you finally have contacted the hiring manager, you've submitted your application, for example, the advocate is the person that will ride for you. They literally speak on your behalf. Biblically speaking, I'll give an example. So within the book of Ruth, Boaz was an advocate for Ruth. So despite her lower status, despite her background and where she was coming from, when Boaz decided to take a liking to Ruth, when he decided to favor her, he was able to speak on her behalf. Reading from Ruth 2, verse 11, Boaz replied to Ruth, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before." Skip through to verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the white vinegar." So you can literally see here in verse 14 that Boaz gave Ruth an invitation to the table. You know, in those times, she would not have been required, able. She would not have had the access that was needed in order to have a seat at that table. But through a simple instruction, through having an advocate, through having someone that could ride for her, she gained access much faster and deeper than she ever could have done alone. Verse 15, as Ruth got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and do not reprimand her." Verse 16, "Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up." So we can see here, verse 16, the level of favor that Ruth was able to obtain through Boaz. In the process of her working in the field, Boaz told them to pull out stalks for her from the bundles, which is to say, make her work easier for her, make it more possible for her to excel faster and above her contemporaries. Sometimes with advocates, you don't even necessarily need to know any of the above relationships that I've mentioned, because they tend to transcend what you could have done with your own two feet or your limited access. Simply put, they have a seat at the table and are actively and passionately ensuring that your name is heard for the betterment of your growth. So in conclusion, when the right people are in your corner, whether the expert, the mentor slash coach, the gatekeeper, or even the advocate, it does not necessarily guarantee success, but it does make the process easier. I think it's important to say that all of these roles can exist in so many different shapes or sizes. So some of these roles, you may be listening and thinking, actually, that's masked within a friendship or even a relationship that you may have with an auntie or an uncle. The truth of the matter is that God can use anyone. The Bible is full of God using what? People. People are an essential part of our process. But even then, it's bigger than people. Always remember that your level up begins with you. So whilst these relationships and roles are being manifested in your life, continue to do the work, maximize and utilize your gifts, and eventually something will give if you don't give up. I'd like to close with this scripture taken from Proverbs 18:16, which says, "A person's gift opens doors for him and brings him before the great." So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. It has been so good to just have a good one-on-one conversation with you. If there's anything you've taken away from this, if there's anything that you're kind of navigating in a season of leveling up that you'd like to share with me, then make sure to tweet me at Deborah Chosen. You can also holler at me on Instagram at Deborah Chosen, or you can head over to the podcast there at Trust in the Process Pod. I'd love to hear from you guys. And also remember that if you've enjoyed this episode and you're listening on iTunes, be sure to give your girl a rating, because this really helps to just maximize this conversation and get it out to the masses. And finally, if you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe to the TTP mailing list. The TTP letter community is one where I'm able to share week on week what I'm navigating, what I'm learning, and how I am having to trust my own process. But until next time, thank you guys so much for listening. And remember to keep trusting the process, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye.